You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Walking through life with Jesus Christ is a splendid way to live, especially when you consider the alternatives. Last December, our children were watching TV. I sat down and joined them. Elizabeth and Katie were watching ALF, that fictional program about a furry alien creature who lives on our planet Earth. For some reason, ALF happened to be in a hospital where he overheard the medical personnel talking about a young girl named Tiffany. Tiffany was terminally ill. One of the medical personnel asked, "What do you say to a girl who is celebrating her last Christmas?" "What do you say to a young girl who is about to die?" I was curious to know what they would say, because the Christian faith has something very real to offer. Do you know what the actors told Tiffany on that program? They fed her a script of platitudes and empty cliches. They tried to make her feel good with stereotyped talk about another world and love and happiness. But if the dying Tiffany had said, "Oh, I hope what you say is really true. Is it true? Can you show me it's true?" If she had asked that, she would not have received an answer, because those pie-in-the-sky words were not rooted in reality. The scriptwriters came up with words that sounded good, but had no basis in history. That script was a great disappointment to me. So shallow, so unsatisfying, so unhistorical. I reacted that way because I am a Christian. I have found faith in Jesus Christ to be very real, very satisfying. The Word of Christ gives light to me as I walk through my life. What do you say, not only to a dying girl, but to anyone? I suspect that many people mouth religious cliches and platitudes because they don't have anything substantial to offer. They strive to say something that is helpful and satisfying, but they just don't have it. So they resort to cliches that sound as real as ALF is. The fact is, people never will find anything meaningful to say about the ultimate questions of life until they begin to strive to know God. But to strive after God? That's an impossible task. Isaiah chapter 45 says, "You are God who hides yourself." God is hidden in inapproachable light. St. Paul wrote to Timothy that God is the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who lives in a light to which no one can come near, whom no one has ever seen or can see. No one can come near that light, it says. Yet if we want to have more than cliches and platitudes for life's problems, we must come to God's light. There's no other way to truth than to strive for God. We can't come to that inapproachable light on our own. Even if we could, we literally could not survive seeing the brilliant glory of God. It's an impossible situation. We can't see God, and yet we cannot have truth without Him. Moses wanted to see God. Moses didn't strive to see God with his own human efforts, but rather Moses asked that God show himself. "Please, show me your glory," Moses asked God, as Exodus 33 tells us. God answered and said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." So much for our efforts to approach God, and thereby to answer for ourselves the ultimate questions of life. So much for our efforts, yours, mine, and Moses. We cannot approach God. But God's grace comes to us. God wants us to walk in His light. God is as turned off by empty religious cliches and platitudes as we are. So He comes from the inaccessible realms of light to reveal Himself to humans. To Moses, God not only said that no one can see His glory and live, but God also said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." While my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. He who dwells in light inaccessible comes today to you and me, and invites us to walk in the light that he has revealed. God's coming to mankind is the truth that makes the Christian faith most splendid. Here is historical truth that separates Christianity from popular cliches and platitudes, and from the half-truths of every other world religion. The historical fact is that the great God of glory, the God whom St. John says is light, and in him there is no darkness, the God whom St. James calls the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting or suggestion of change, this great and inapproachable God has come down to our earth in the historical person and works of Jesus Christ. When God's Son came, he went to the place where you and I must go. Christ went to the place where Tiffany, that young girl in the fictional TV show, was destined to go. Christ came to our world and went to death. Why? Why, you wonder, would anyone choose to die? We humans struggle against death. Expressions like being at peace and being in a better place are sometimes based upon Christian truth and sometimes empty, hollow cliches. In either case, they cannot hide the fact that death is an enemy, and most people struggle against death. So why would God's Son come from the divine realms of inaccessible light into this world to die? The answer is so that you and I can walk in his light. Christ died because it's not enough to have an intellectual knowledge of God. It's not enough to have words that soothe us only for a brief time. Christ died so that we might have an intimate communion with God, a fellowship, a lifelong walk in his light. For you to walk in God's light, something had to be done about your sin. Most people will acknowledge that they are sinners. But many people who say they are sinners do not understand the word as the Bible teaches us to understand it. Many people use the word sin as a synonym for imperfection. Sure, I'm a sinner, they say. No one's perfect. Ah, that is such a trivial way to regard sin. It turns sin into another religious cliché. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is violating God's will that we be perfect as he is perfect. Sin is our inherited propensity for evil rather than for good, for darkness rather than light. Sin is damnable, punished with eternal death in hell, and that's where you would go, I too, were it not for the fact that Christ came from the realm of inaccessible light into our world, and Christ chose to die and pay the price for your sins. St. John says that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, washes us clean from every sin. Last December, U.S. News and World Report carried an article about the Austin Chalk. Deep in the heart of Texas, the magazine reported, 2 miles underground, lies buried a huge natural treasure chest of oil known by geologists as the Austin Chalk. For 60 years, oil companies and wildcat drillers have been searching for this multi-billion dollar stash of petroleum and natural gas. So far, it has been a frustrating search. No one has yet to find any of the rich pay zones of oil. To this day, the search goes on for the elusive Austin Chalk. Without the blood of Christ shed for your sin, your search to get beyond empty religious cliches and platitudes would be as unproductive as a search for the elusive Austin Chalk. Without the blood of Christ, all the religious talk of all the religious people throughout the world is meaningless. Without the blood of Christ, you are living in darkness, no matter how educated and enlightened you think you are. But when you come to the cross of Christ and see him dying for your sins, then God's light breaks into your life. By the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, St. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, God took away the power of death, and by the gospel brought into the light the life which cannot be destroyed. With the blood of Christ, with His forgiving message in your heart, you are walking in the light, as St. John says it, or as St. Paul says in Ephesians 5, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. There at the cross is the historical fact that gives substance to our words of faith. From the cross, God's wisdom shining breaks forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light does send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. How privileged you are when you walk in His light. And yet, there are so many people who do not know this splendid faith, so many who are walking in darkness, so many people like Tiffany who are hearing fictional answers when there are real truths to help. The story is told about a little boy who was conceived before, but born after, his father shipped out to serve in the Second World War. For almost 3 years, the boy knew only a picture of his father. At bedtime, he and his mother would kneel beside the bed for prayer. When the prayers were concluded, he would kiss the picture of his father, which stood on his nightstand, and then jump into bed. On that first wonderful night, when his father returned from the war, mother, child, and father knelt for prayer. After the Amen, the mother said, "Okay, now kiss your father goodnight. It's time to go to sleep." The youngster got up, kissed the picture, and jumped into bed, leaving father on his knees with open but empty arms. That illustrates what St. John wrote. Christ was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world knew Him not. So many people are not walking in the light of the Savior. The population of the world today is about 5 billion people. Over 300 million are Buddhists. Almost 700 million are Hindus. 900 million are Muslims. There are over 800 million agnostics, people who don't know if God is and what He wants from us. Some 700 million people in this world are classified as other, including the adherents of tribal religions, Sikhs, atheists, the Jewish faith, and others. Since Christ is the only light of the world, what do you say to those people who are living and dying apart from our fellowship in Christ? What do you say? I can tell you what we at the Lutheran Hour say. We want those people to walk in the light of Christ and to have fellowship with us. That's what we say. Begun in 1930 by Dr. Walter Meyer, the Lutheran Hour today begins its 58th broadcast season. Our goal is to enlighten people with the splendors that come from faith in the crucified Christ. We invite Christians and non-Christians alike to walk in the light. That happens through these English language broadcasts, beamed out each week over some 1,200 radio stations. That happens also through our foreign language broadcasts. Each week, 20 Lutheran Hour offices around the world prepare and proclaim the true light of the world in 110 nations, in 31 languages, over 660 radio stations, on every continent of this world. The light of this world is being proclaimed, and we proclaim the light of Christ against the darknesses of this world. Our worldwide broadcast may expose the darkness of Hinduism's belief in Brahman. The darkness may be the dharmas of Buddhism. The darkness may be Islam, the fastest growing religion in the United States, and a religion that does not regard Jesus Christ as God's decisive revelation of Himself. Do you know that there are more Muslims than Methodists in the United States? The light of Christ will shine into the darkness of New Age. the insidious ideas popular today in Europe and America, which seem so compatible with historic Christianity, but are in essence opposed to God-given salvation. The darkness we preach against may be syncretism, the notion that every religion has something to offer, and you never can know eternal truth anyway. That is a pretty widely accepted notion in America, and it's about as credible as believing an elf. The light we proclaim is a light of the gospel, the revealed good news that salvation is completely a gift of God to sinful humanity. That means it is not our work or a cooperative venture with God. That revealed light will conflict with the darkness that says salvation is man's work or a cooperative effort between God and man. That light will probe into the dark areas of your life, the attitudes and conduct you have that are not consistent with walking in the light. Each week, in many languages and many broadcasts, God's Word probes into the darkness of wrong beliefs. What do we say? With St. Paul, we say that the God who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts for the purpose of revealing the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Christ. With the first chapter of St. John's Gospel, we say, "The genuine light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and he made the world, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not welcome him. But to all who welcomed him, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become the children of God. They have been born, not of blood, nor of an urge of the flesh, nor of a husband's desire, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. He is full of grace and truth." What a splendid way to walk through life. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. We thank you who support us with your words, your prayers to God on our behalf, and your financial support. We thank you because we realize, and I hope you do too, what a privilege it is to walk in the light of God. So many of you listeners say the same thing to family and friends in your personal life each week. You say to them, "Walk in the light." And you, who do not know the splendors of Christ, please, please listen again. Please write to us. Please talk to a Bible-believing pastor. Please talk to a Christian friend. We want you in our fellowship. That's why Jesus came and died. Walk in the light. That's what we say. We hope you say it too. Amen.